Welcome back, everybody, to Dress Down. I am very excited about our guest today. Today we have a pinup model, cosplayer, actress, and content creator all the way from Ontario, Canada. Please welcome Vera Bambi.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. How has the transition from Canada to LA been?
I don't feel fully transitioned yet.
I'm like, wait, I'm here?
How long have you lived here permanently?
What month is it right now? Since it is February, a year and 3 months.
A year. Oh, wow.
Yeah, longer than it feels like.
Yeah. And you're not fully transitioned in yet. I also feel that way. And it's been 2 years and some change for me as well.
Yeah, because you moved here. Well, how long? 2 years and some change.
Where did you move from? 2 years in August. From Florida.
From Florida. Right, mm-hmm. right, from Florida. And how are you? Because you said you're not.
I'm not settled. It's so, well, we were talking about this before we started. It is hard because LA is so fast moving. It seems like it's just a constant stream of activities. Yeah. Every day there's like more than one thing happening. You kind of have to decide what to do. There's not a lot of downtime, which is amazing.
Well, yeah, it's like the reason I came.
Yes, exactly.
Well, aside from the wonderful marriage, but like that's a big part of it, right? Because, you know, when my husband and I met, I was like, oh, I've always wanted to be in California. I want to be in the hustle and bustle of the entertainment industry, so
same for me. I love the fast-pacedness of it all. I love all the different things going on, but it does make it hard to unpack a closet because there isn't a lot of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm going through right now, is just figuring out organizing my closet, because before I moved, I sold all of my furniture, but I did not sell my clothes. There's no way.
Yeah, same. I don't blame you.
Brought the clothes with me, but I have nowhere to put them right now. And I just kind of have to wait and purchase. I think I'm going to buy like those pack systems from IKEA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those back in Canada and it was amazing. So now with the knowledge of having one before, I'm going to make another one.
I might join you.
They're great. Have you ever like gone through them? And because they're completely custom. You can do like these shelves where I had all of my, because I have so much lingerie. I'm a lingerie collector.
Yeah,
So I had like rows of lingerie where I can see like everything.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, like walking into a store. Mm-hmm. So it was, it was a good investment when I had one, and I have to get back on that life.
Yeah, I've wanted one for a while. I wasn't sure how long I was going to be in this place, so I didn't want to invest too much into customizing everything. But now it's been 2 years, and we have no plans to move.
Wait, so when you moved here, you weren't sure if it was going to be permanent?
I wasn't sure. I was sure it would be permanent to be in LA, but I wasn't sure how long we were going to be in that first house that we rented.
Right, figuring that out.
It was more like, at this point, we don't care. We just want to get there. Mm-hmm. But Amanda and I mean, we're still there. We like that place, and we like our landwoman.
That's so awesome that you live with your best friend. Oh, and you like your landlord.
Yeah.
I have a great landlord, too, actually. Yeah. I feel like I got super lucky.
Makes a huge difference.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, so we just now were like, you know what? Let's start customizing stuff. So we got like peel and stick tiles for the kitchen, and we're going to do our little cutesy girly upgrades, and I'm really excited.
I want to do like an all pink bathroom, and I was like, oh, I should get like pink tiles and kind of be like a bit of a Barbie Hello Kitty vibe, you know?
I think you should as well.
Yeah, I'm going a little crazy in the house. I'm going to do like a burlesque room and a Hello Kitty Barbie room.
As you should. What is adult money for?
Right. And then my Batman room has to always. I always have my Batman room.
Right. Exactly. Well, I would like to start with some Canada hot takes for you. I was told that you are not supposed to pronounce the second T in Toronto. Is that true?
That's true. It's Toronto.
It's Toronto.
Yeah. It's Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Okay.
You're a native already.
Oh, perfect. 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 my second question, do you say toque or do you say beanie?
I don't say either.
Really?
Yeah, I would never cover this hair.
You know what? Fair enough, queen.
No, I think I say beanie.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever called it a toque.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. I wonder if that's based on region.
Maybe.
But I've been told by many a Canadian now.
They do call it a toque, mm-hmm. for sure. But yeah. I've always been, I was raised on YouTube. So I feel like I was, most people in Canada think I'm from California.
Really?
Yeah. And I always wanted to live out here just because I was sort of just raised on YouTube and watching people in California live the life. So I feel like I don't even... I've been told there's a slight Canadian accent, but people don't normally point it out. Do you hear it?
I hear it in the oot, just a little bit. Just a teensy weensy bit.
Do I say oot?
A little. You don't say oot. It's just, it's the best way to describe it. Mm. But I hear a touch, a little. Okay. A little tiny percentage, I'd say.
Okay, cute.
But I don't know that I would know where it was from besides having enough Canadian friends now to be able to pinpoint it, you know? Do you say Z or do you say Zed?
Zed.
Zed.
Is that proper?
Which one is it? Proper.
I think I do both.
Really?
Yeah, and then there's pasta and pasta.
Then
bagel and bagel and bagel and bagel.
Bagel and bagel,
and I don't know which one it is, and I think I do both.
You know what? There's no right answer.
But the rules are made up. Which one's the Canadian sounding one?
It's definite. Pasta is American, I would say.
Pasta.
Yeah.
So if I say pasta.
Pasta.
Okay, yeah, I think I get that back home. Yeah? I think so. Yeah, I'm like, I don't really know where it is, you know?
And it's definitely bagel.
Mm-hmm. Bagel. And
I believe bagel.
Bagel, bagel.
Is Canadian.
Yeah.
I'm not like, a scientist.
Can I have a bag, please?
Yeah. Yes. And lastly, is the maple syrup actually better?
It is 100% better. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard. Yeah, I need to taste it.
You got to try it. It's good. It's really good.
I will.
And then
next time you go back, bring me some.
Yeah, I will for sure. I noticed you guys don't really have the maple cookies out here.
No, I've never had a maple cookie. I don't think
that's what you have to try.
Okay,
the maple cookies, the ketchup chips.
Yeah,
we have way better chocolate. Like we have such good chocolate.
I actually have had Canadian chocolate, and I do agree with you. It is way better.
I had the Reese's Pieces, mm-hmm. the bags with the they're kind of like the M&Ms. Those things, I had those out here, and I was like, these have no flavor. Who eats these? These are disgusting. The branding's the exact same. Uh-huh. And then I eat them in Canada. I'm like, oh. Heaven, this is what I wanted. Mm-hmm, yeah. mm-hmm. So I won't be eating the Reese's Pieces out here ever.
You know, I do not blame you. I do not blame you. I didn't realize what we were missing.
Yeah.
Until one fateful YetiCon.
Ah.
In Blue Mountain, Canada.
Oh, my.
I don't know if you know where that is. I don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is.
I flew into Toronto, got in a car, and Jono drove an hour and a half.
To YetiCon in Blue Mountain?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've heard of Blue Mountain, but I've never gone. But a lot of my sisters, they'll go and snowboard, so.
Right. Yeah. Do you have a favorite Canadian snack that we don't have here? Like the ketchup chips?
The maple cookies. Maple cookie slap. Those are great. The maple cookies. Ketchup chips are okay. They're just kind of iconic.
Yeah.
They're great.
They are pretty iconic.
I can live without them, though.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah.
I thought that ketchup chips were going to be the be-all, end-all Canadian snack for me, but it is all dressed.
All dressed. Oh, yeah. You guys don't have all dressed out here. Mm-mm. All dressed are everything.
It's so good.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, all dressed.
Yeah.
You know your stuff.
Yeah.
You reminded me.
I mean.
It's so good.
What would you say is the biggest difference between living in Canada versus living in California now that you've been here over a year?
Firstly, the weather, for sure. It's beautiful all year long, mm-hmm. which is, I think, also contributes to why I don't know how much time has gone by.
Right.
Because, you know, when you experience the seasons, it mentally, like, it slows you down. Mm-hmm. And in the winter, we stay inside a lot and time just moves slower and it's more family. Whereas out here, I'm like, when is working season ending?
Yeah. It's never. Actually. It doesn't. For about 2 weeks in January.
Yeah.
And which it's immediately back.
Yeah, which is great. Because, you know, you're around a lot of people that are hungry and like want it. And that's so amazing because that's
the
other thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back home, I found it difficult to have friendships with people who really, really wanted it. It would, like, I would, but it was rare, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I experienced similar feelings about Florida.
Yeah.
I love the grind set, if you will. And being around
the grind.
Yeah. it hurt a little to say, you know.
I mean, I do too. So I get it.
Thank you. I appreciate you validating my feelings.
I got you.
No, but it is. It's like an infectious energy. When there are people working really hard around you, it's inspiring. You feel like that passion is infectious. Yeah. And I think when there isn't a lot of that around all the time, mm-hmm. you have to self-motivate a lot. And it's a lot harder.
Yes. Yeah. But there's also two sides, because I find that back home, it's easier to kind of like spot people that are like not just in it for the hustle, right? Yeah. Like that's harder, mm-hmm. you know?
That's true.
Yeah. Very so true. I'm trying to like make friends right now. And I have some friends, fortunately, just from just traveling for so long. So like longtime friends and just being in the business. So that's good. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to like find someone that's maybe close to home or like something so I can go on like tea dates or something, yeah. you know, because I'm like a high tea girl. I love that. Yeah.
Amanda loves high tea.
Does she?
Yes.
We have to go.
Yeah.
We have to go.
I want to get all dressed up.
Yeah, and get cute, drink tea, eat little finger sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That sounds amazing.
I love that. I'm obsessed with that.
Today we're just at the Huntington Garden because someone needed to film something like a lipstick ad or something. So we went in these cute little dresses. It was very high tea.
Huntington
coated.
Garden. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's that? Or is that what it's called, or is that the place?
That is what it's called.
That's, okay.
I tend to, especially in LA, get in a car and disassociate a lot.
Oh my God.
So I could not tell you where it was. Same. I just get in the back. I scroll on my little phone and then I teleport there.
Yeah, just do your work.
I don't know which direction like, I went.
Oh, wow. So interesting.
Yeah. Oh, we're here. Yay.
Oh, no.
I think it's in Pasadena, if I had to guess. God.
I'm the same, though. I'm very much like backseat princess, just scrolling on my phone, getting work done. Like,
yes.
Not a care in the world. And I'm like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Look on a map. I'm like, I am far from home.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Well, since you've been here, I know you've been doing some meetup collabs, and you've been April in a short film.
Yeah.
How is content going? How's work going since you've been here?
It's a dream come true that I got to do April O'Neil. I'm very, very excited. It's in this wonderful film by Bat in the Sun. It's going to be Batman versus Shredder. I believe that comes out in like 2-ish months. We can't say a date. Uh-huh, we don't want to like get people worked up and then, you know. So, but I'm watching every step of the behind the scenes. So I get to see the sound being put in. I get to see the fight getting edited down. And of course, I get to see my part. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud, like very, very proud, because this is my, I want to say, fourth or fifth acting role. Mm-hmm. And acting is a whole other ball game. I know you know, because we had a day together acting for a production. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's very hard. My first time acting, I like froze up.
So did I.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's a rite of passage,
so,
I feel.
It feels so good to hear it from you. Not that I want that for you. I don't want that for you.
No, I get it.
It's horrible.
It.
Mm-hmm. But like, oh, I feel so seen because, wow, I feel like I have, and this is going to sound so cocky, but it is. That's because it is.
Because it is.
Yes. I feel like I have so much talent inside of me. Mm-hmm. And then I get on this set with all of these people that are very experienced, and it's very different from being at home with, mm-hmm. you know, the webcam on me talking to an audience, like, or even something like this where it's just us, mm-hmm. you know, it's very intimate and mm-hmm. there's not like all these eyes. And so the first time I acted with Bat in the Sun, I was Poison Ivy. I froze up that day. They did have something that they could use.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah.
But I had a rough day. And then after that, I just like really zeroed in and I was like, I want this so bad. Like, I have to get it together. I have to figure this out. What's going on inside of me? Like, what are nerves? Like, starting to like study, like, why do I get nervous? What can I do when I get nervous? Because mm-hmm. I know I like have this thing inside of me mm-hmm. and I can't, why can't I show it to people? Mm-hmm. You know,
so, I'm in my own way. How do I get out of my own way?
How do I, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why am I standing in front of me and like name calling myself or like yeah. say, I don't know what it is that's going on in my head that I'm mm-hmm. just second guessing. And with this performance as April, I felt for the second time, because the first time I felt comfortable, truly comfortable on set was Velma for, we did, Velma and Daphne do the classics, which was myself and Clarice Polaris against Mike Myers, Art the Clown, and Ghostface. And that one was really funny. And it just, I just love that that's out on the internet. It was great. And mm-hmm. I just felt like I was Velma. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that day, I wasn't tired. I was energized. Yeah. I was ready to keep going. It was like this bizarre thing because it's a long, grueling day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a long day. I can't stress how long. And then I felt that again this time with April, where I was just confident and good. And this was actually what was really great after this one, was that some of the crew came up to me to compliment me. And they're like, you know, I've watched your growth and that was a really big deal. And whoa. I was just like, oh, my heart felt so full. Like, oh my God, the crew came up to me. That's like such an honor, yeah. you know, to be like, oh, I saw you from Poison Ivy to now. And there's been so much growth. And I'm just like, thank you. Thank you. I've been working so hard. And they're like, I can tell.
Wow.
Like, wow, thank you.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
Yeah, that feels amazing for sure. Yeah,
it feels so good. And I just want to, now I'm just like, oh, I just want to take improv all the time. And I just want my friends to like act things out with me. And mm-hmm. I just want to live and breathe it now, you know?
Wow. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How much time has it been from Poison Ivy to this last production that you did? How many years?
Oh, that's going to be embarrassing. So I think it was like 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't always have opportunities.
Sure, sure, sure.
Right? Like, yeah. opportunities of practice are hard to find unless you get into a class. Mm-hmm. And that is very different than being across from somebody who you know is an established actor. Mm-hmm. And you just don't want to, you want to make sure that you're doing a good job, not even for yourself, but just because this person has worked so hard on their career. So, and I actually find that that takes a lot of the pressure off me, is like being like, it's not about me. I'm not that important. Mm-hmm. It's about them. Mm-hmm. So be a good support mm-hmm. to these other people. That's relieved a lot for mm-hmm. me. It's like, Vera, it's not about you. No, like, it's not about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stress so hard about being perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've taken a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you go from the modeling world to the acting world, it's so different, because when you're modeling, it is about being perfect. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, your neck needs to be long and your chin needs to, oh, and yeah. you have to, like, you know, this is your angle, and, you know, flex everything and study your face in the mirror. And then you get in front of a camera with a crew and you have to unlearn all of that
yeah.
because now you are going to look like you are faking it.
Yeah.
And you have to just act, which is to be natural and mm-hmm. have natural reactions. And you have all this stuff just trained in your head from modeling. It's like, drop it.
I
let all of it go.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I do. And it's a really weird, hard muscle memory to kind of mm-hmm. have to shake, because
yeah.
being in the modeling industry as long as you have, you've like developed all these subconscious habits. Mm-hmm. And so now you have to learn what those subconscious habits are, and yeah. then also decide not to do them while also trying to be natural. It's yeah. like the steps become even harder.
For sure.
Almost.
Oh, first, yeah, 100%. I'm so glad that you get it.
Like, I totally get it.
I love that. I love that you act and that you can totally see that, because mm-hmm. that's, and that's, there's this perfection in your mind when you're modeling and then you see your stuff go on social media later and you're like, did I pick the best photos and this and that? But when you're acting, it's not about picking the clip where you, and you don't even get to pick it.
Yeah, a lot of the control is taken.
You lose all the control. So mm-hmm. you're in someone else's hands and you're being sculpted by them and you have to be good at letting them sculpt you.
Directable. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know. So then my question to you is, when you're on these production sets and you're acting and you're either April O'Neil or Velma, because you come from a cosplay background, are you then taking care of your own costume, wig, makeup? Or is there a person, for continuity's sake, that does it every day?
Okay, so yes and no. So because of my experience, the team has a lot of trust in my ability
yeah.
to be like yes to this, no to this. Mm-hmm. So I got to pick and make my own wig. I do my own makeup and hair. Mm-hmm. And then we go to a costumer who does the costume. Gotcha. And then I will direct the costumer. I'll be like, okay, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was going to say, I knew the answer before I asked, but I had a feeling you do your own hair and makeup.
Yeah. Girl, you know it.
I knew it.
There's no way.
I knew it. I had a feeling.
I've had moments where makeup artists have done my makeup, and every time I'm just like miserable. I'm like, no, they did my eyebrows wrong. And they're very talented. They yeah, do like yeah, a yeah. great job. And when I see what they do on other people, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll let you do my makeup. And then I'm just like too much of a control freak. I'm like, nope, I've been doing this for too long. I have an exact way that I like it. Mm-hmm. I need to do it that way.
Yeah. And you're comfortable and your face is your brand if you are a model, yeah. content creator. So it's like, you don't recognize yourself sometimes when right. people do your makeup.
I don't. Like, yeah. the brows are everything, too, because I don't actually have eyebrow hair, so I, like, completely put it
in. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm going through an eyebrow journey right now because I had them microbladed, but they turned a little gray, and I had them redone, and then they were way too dark. So now I'm getting them lightened.
Oh, wow.
And they've turned red.
So, I got the microblading, but I was supposed to go for a follow-up, mm-hmm. and I didn't go for the follow-up. And the reason I didn't was because I learned that you can get hair transplant. They'll take hair from the back of your head and they'll implant it in your eyebrows. And I was like, oh, I want that. But then I went in for a consult. Girl.
Whoa.
Your face right now. I went in for being a consultation and they told me that if you get the microblading, it messes up your ability to latch onto the hair. I had one session. And I was like, well, if I had one session, like, well, you might still latch on. Mm. It just becomes harder the more trauma there is in the area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I stopped. And mine completely, like, the microblading is gone now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see it at all, which kind of sucks when I don't have, like, my makeup on, mm-hmm. you know? But I'm hoping to get the transplant. At some point.
Yeah.
Preferably rocks. When I'm settled and I figured my life out.
Right. Yeah, I think I need like one more like specifically red removal from my eyebrows.
Okay.
And then after that, I was probably just going to get them redone, but with a much, much, much lighter ink because the one that they
went hard.
They went way too. Oh, well, it was a different place in Florida.
But you're blonde. Why would they?
Girl, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why they made them so dark. I don't know. I wish they didn't. But they were also going over the old one. I don't know.
Do you have makeup on them right now? Because right now they're gorgeous. No. There's no makeup on them.
No.
They look good.
They're a little red. They don't look a little red to you?
I thought it was a choice.
No.
Especially with the dress.
It wasn't a choice.
Well, I think it looks good. But I get it. They're your eyebrows. They have to be what you want.
I got bangs covering them right now. Trying to hide my transitionary period.
I feel you.
Anyway.
You're like, moving on. Let's moving on, not moving talk on. About this anymore.
What would you say is the biggest difference between being on the production sets and shooting your own content, besides obviously being able to control all of your own content creation, photos and stuff like that? Is there something that you like or dislike specifically about being on a set versus doing things by yourself?
It's just, it's a different challenge. I'm in a space where I'm working on my, not to say that I wasn't working on my skills before. I'm working on my skills with other people, right? Whereas before, everything was according to what I like. Mm-hmm. Now I'm kind of Play-Doh in the hands of a director or even my my colleagues, like my, what would I say, my co-actors and actresses. So, you know, bounce. I just think it's a different world. And because I'm unpracticed, it's a lot harder. Mm. And I'm trying to just get really good at it. But that was sort of, it's all transferable.
Yeah.
Like even before, in a way, it was the same. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm starting, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous on camera the first time. Mm-hmm. And you get comfortable. And then you shift the environment and suddenly it's like, oh my God, the walls are closing in on me again.
Right.
Oh, but I chose this. Like, okay. But it's the same. It's different and the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, I would just say working with others is the thing that I'm doing a lot more of. Because mm-hmm. I would work with others, like other models, photographers, but I would always be in charge. Mm-hmm. You've got me like reflecting right now.
Yeah.
Like, what is it?
We're ruminating in real time.
We're ruminating in real time. Unpacking it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a skill that you would say that content creation and modeling has transferred to being on a camera, like a film set? And is there a skill that you've learned from being on a film set that has transferred to content creation?
Yeah, so being on a film set, I feel that I've become a lot more natural in my content creation, which is funny because when I was learning, it felt very unnatural. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, you learn to be more relaxed and trust your intuition. There's a lot more trust happening inside of me. Mm-hmm. And then from modeling to acting, just understanding where the camera is and knowing my angles, that is both a huge asset and a massive detriment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to know where the camera is and keep your face open, even if you're trying to be more natural and act in comparison to acting. It's just, but yeah, that was a big one, is just understanding light and the camera is something I didn't have to learn.
Yeah. I feel you there as well. I do. I do. So you started off modeling and then cosplayed, or vice versa?
Yeah, I started modeling. I was in the fetish scene. I was doing latex modeling, just a love for fashion and being a little edgy.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sexy. Loved the like latex. And then I'm just a nerd. I love Batman. Batman is my thing. I grew up playing, you know, Nintendo N64. Banjo-Kazooie is like my favorite game of all time. You know, I played all the games that we all played growing up.
Yeah.
And decided to take my modeling to a convention one year. Like, I would go to con just to collect statues. You used to get really good deals.
Yeah.
You don't anymore.
Right.
It's not a thing. But you used to be able to get things for, like, a garage sale price. So I had to go to cons for that reason. And then one year I was like, oh, you know, I could like dress up. I could bring my modeling.
Yeah.
And I brought all of my modeling prints. Like, there was no cosplay prints. It was just my modeling work. And I was wearing a Mary Jane latex shirt.
Nice.
And it just popped off huge. And I was kind of just hit with this wave of, whoa, this is crazy. Okay, I'm actually being appreciated for the thing I got teased for in school. This is not expected.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so, how did you so you're selling prints, so you had a booth. When did you have your own booth? Was it with, like a comic book artist, or did the con contact you directly?
No, I just bought it myself.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah, I just bought a booth. I was looking around. I was like, oh, look at all these. Yeah, I was like, look at all these entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I liked Artist Alley. So my mm-hmm. booth was always in Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. So I was never with the cosplayers. And like over time, I was kind of sad about that. I was like, oh, I want to be over there. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I would hear things about like, I guess, I don't know if it's good to talk about, but I will anyway. We can edit it if we don't like it.
Yeah.
About like how the cons treat people. Mm. And I would think about like my scenario and then what's going on over there. And I'd be like, okay, it's probably for the better.
That you're over here.
Yeah. But I would get really jealous. I would feel really left out. Like, oh, I'm not one of the cool cosplayers that has like the fans that like line up with the velvet ropes and uh-huh. like the red carpet treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was also like, I love this though. And yeah.
It's a different vibe. There's pros and cons. I know what you're trying to say, for sure. So because you started off with latex modeling then and started doing cosplay, I talked about this a little bit with Holly, so I'm curious if you had the same experience where Holly was doing Playboy but was always a nerd and started doing cosplay and then got met with this backlash from the cosplay community for potentially being a fraud, quote unquote, and using the cosplay community to be a like fake nerd.
I remember when people would talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, I know it's been a while, and I'm so glad it's not as big of a thing as it used to be.
It was so weird. I definitely dealt with gatekeepiness over because of the latex modeling, and also I was a cam girl, and people were like, "What are you bringing into the community? Like this, I don't know, this succubus woman is coming in. like, what is she doing?
You sensual, sexy lady. How dare you?
You can't be sexy and have interests.
Yes. you can't be a nerd and be hot. Were you in like high school? Was there like a glow up that happened with you, or were you always super hot? Because you are.
Oh my god!
Super hot.
You're the best. Thank you. There was a definite glow up. Like I didn't know that I was cute. But I grew up with a sister who's just so stunning, and even to this day, I look at her and I'm like, "You have celebrity beauty." Like she's so beautiful. So I think a part of it was just that, you know, just like I had this gorgeous sister and like I couldn't compare, you know, so I couldn't see the beauty in me because I was so obsessed with the beauty in my older sister.
Right.
You know, but then she'd do cute things like teach me how to do makeup.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a really great bonding experience over that, which kind of I would do my makeup. Then I would take photos, and suddenly all of a sudden people were like, "Oh, you're so pretty."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Oh, I think I'm going to lean into this."
She's hot, Your Honor.
And then throughout the whole beginning of my career, I got a lot of compliments about she's so photogenic.
Ah.
Like no one would tell me I was pretty. They would just tell me I was photogenic.
Interesting.
Which was like kind of hurt my heart a bit because it's like, oh, so I know how to use the camera, but I'm not genuinely attractive. Okay.
That's
but then
so
like it felt
to
good.
Me.
You know, like it was like a high of like, oh, this feels good. And now, oh, now I know. Now I know what's up.
And now I know. Good. I asked that because I had a similar glow up, if you will. Mm-hmm. I was a weird little nerd for a long time. But I think that when it came to cosplay in the like 2010 to 2017, 18 era, there was a lot of, if you're pretty, you can't be a nerd. And I think it was just because we learned how to do our makeup.
It's literally.
You guys, we've been here the whole time.
The beginning of my career,
surprise.
Was just makeup.
Yeah.
And I used to wear like two bras.
Yep, me
now
too.
Now they're fake.
Yep,
so
also
happy.
Me too.
So glad I have these now.
Yeah.
But I would wear like two push-up bras to fake boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the wigs, the hair is always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're like fidgeting over your hair and you can't figure out how it works. And why is this curling iron frying my ends? And like, so a wig, it'll just take care of all of that.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you know what? my point was made.
Yeah. Yeah, your point is extremely valid.
My point is made. Thank you. So did you get any backlash? Because Holly was saying she was too nerdy for Playboy, but she was too, like, sexy girl, quote unquote, for cosplay. Did you feel that way as well?
No.
Okay.
No, the main thing for me was that because I was comfortable selling my nudes, that was an issue. Like, people couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that I was – people were like, oh, she's just jumping into this extremely niche audience that you have to, like, know how to hold a conversation in and just showing up hot so that she can sell her nudes. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying different things that I like. And this one landed. And I'm very, very happy because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what was the first costume that you did? Was it the latex Mary Jane shirt or
so technically, my first cosplay. I didn't look at it as a cosplay. It was a Halloween costume and I wore it at a fetish club.
Okay.
And I dressed up as Penguin. I told you I'm
Batman
weird.
Penguin?
Yes, like Batman's Penguin.
Okay, describe this fit to me, please.
Okay, so the fit was great. Like, it was a latex tuxedo top with, like, I don't know what that's called. It's not, like, a cap, like, a vest-style sleeve. What is that?
I don't know.
Well, it was, like, a tuxedo top.
Situation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sleeveless situation, yeah. Exactly.
Love it.
High-waisted latex, like, a bikini-ish. Made the umbrella with acrylic paint, monocle, really messed up makeup, just like an insane, unattractive smoky eye, and like makeup to almost accentuate like my nose, like no prosthetics, but just accentuate the size of my nose a bit, and like a top hat. And oh, I had a fur. And I probably had some really cool shoes. I had a latex flipper. And it was just fun.
Yeah.
It was just having fun. Yeah. Wanted to be a little weirdo at the, you know, at the S&M club.
It sounds like you had a blast.
I had a great time.
And everybody loved it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then after I did that and I posted it online, people were like, oh, you're in cosplay. I was like, what is cosplay? You know, so then when I would go to the conventions, like later in the years, I was like, oh, like thinking about that time that I did Penguin, like, oh, I could do that again. And I contacted the exact same latex maker who did my Penguin outfit. And I was like, hey, can you do a Mary Jane top for me? Like, that would be so fun, easy to wear, like nothing too stressful to walk around in. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
And set up a booth. But I didn't know that the costume would attract so much attention. I just thought it would be fun to wear it while at the booth because it felt suiting. It felt appropriate, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Mary Jane is an iconic heartthrob. Yeah, iconic exactly. Heartthrob. Exactly. So I can see why it popped off, but it's such a good idea. And it just speaks to like your knowledge of nerddom.
I thank her for a lot of my career because I wore her for a long time. And every time I put her on, it's just it's a really big spectacle. It's a big deal. And then, and she gives me room to play and do like the weird ones that I want to do because I definitely noticed when I would start to do the cosplays that I was like, oh, you know, it'd be fun. People don't really like it. They have a specific subset of what they wanted me to do, which was they wanted me to play into the bombshell characters all the time. But I always liked being a little silly. Like, my favorite costume is my Inspector Gadget, which is like, you know, a burlesque version of an Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
Or Inspect Her Gadget, if you will.
I see. I like it. I like it. Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, you stay true to yourself. It's how you never burn out, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm always avoiding the burnout.
Mm-hmm. If we all are.
So real.
I'm trying to jump that hurdle every day.
Yeah. Avoid the burnout at all costs.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you wear a latex outfit, how do you go about prepping for that? I've heard different things.
Do you mean to put it on?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't worn one in a minute, but usually I believe it's like, yeah. You put baby powder on because it's really hard to slide into. But I would make pieces that were – or I would have pieces made that were more like lingerie, so they were a little easier to get into. Mm-hmm. But if it was something that was like a long skirt, I would have to – you know, you put baby powder on.
Gotcha.
You wiggle your way up. You jump up and down like getting on a pair of jeans that doesn't fit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you zip it up, and now you're covered in powder. Mm-hmm. So, you know, wash the powder off, wipe it down, and then you use lubricants all over it.
Like to shine it, right?
Yeah, like you're cleaning the inside of a car or something. Uh-huh. Like literally you could put Armor All on it.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you just put Armor All on
That's
it.
That's crazy.
Wait, have you not worn latex?
Not really, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, it's
I
fun.
I have once in a while, and I have a few horror stories. So I feel as though I did it wrong, which
Wait,
is why
what
I
happened?
I ask for myself. The one time I did the baby powder thing, I was wearing like a full body latex suit.
Ooh, that's tough.
And then
was that your first out the gate? You
yes,
went into a full body,
yes,
like a cat
girl,
suit?
Yes.
Rookie mistake.
Oh, that's, you know what? And then my second one was also that. But
oh, wow.
The first one, I did the baby powder thing. Mm-hmm. This is disgusting. I'm so sorry.
I'm ready. I feel like I know where it's
I
going.
I apologize to everyone who's listening or watching. I did Shiro from Dead Man Wonderland. I don't know if you've seen that anime, but she's like all white. So I had white body paint on, like white face paint. It was like a white bodysuit with like these red targets all over it.
Okay.
And these huge mittens. Which was such a mistake because I was wearing it to sell prints. So I kept having to take the mittens off to sign the prints and put them in the bags. But the problem was we were in the convention center and it was super hot because there were a ton of people there. So the sweat, my sweat was mixing with the baby powder and leaking out of my sleeves onto the prints all day. And it was fucking disgusting.
Wait, did you have anyone helping you?
No. It was like I was a baby cosplayer.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever told that story publicly.
Oh, no.
It was so nasty.
Just for anyone watching to know, that's normal.
Really?
Yeah, if you are wearing a full cat suit latex, you're going to sweat. It's going to drip out.
It was
really disgusting.
All day.
It's a part of the performance.
Bro.
You're going to be leaking.
And
yeah.
It was like I would like tilt my hand down to like sign the print and it would just come out onto the print and I kept having to like try to like stealthily wipe it away, but it was not stealthy and people.
No, you have to have like a system to like like towels and you
really
can't
gross.
Like I personally would never wear a latex cat suit at a con unless I was just walking the floor.
Mm.
Right, like at a booth, you have too much to handle. You're shaking hands with people.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, like if I'm on the floor, I don't feel bad saying sorry, can't hug, you know. But at my booth, I'm like, oh, you're here to meet me, so I shouldn't be wearing this.
Well, that was the first time I ever did that.
Oh, no. You poor girl.
Thanks. The second time was also selling at a con. This time I was in my home, like where I grew up in high school. They had a con called Ocala Comic Con, I went to high school in Ocala, Florida.
Okay.
And I wore a Zero Suit Samus latex full body suit. And I don't think I did the baby powder thing because I was like, oh, I must have done something wrong. So I think I like lubed my body up instead.
Were you just slipping around in there like crazy?
I was slipping around in there like crazy, but at one point, like halfway through the day, and this was in like a hotel conference room. It was like a pretty small convention. Okay. But like my parents came because they were like, you're here and you're doing cool stuff, I guess. And I think we don't know what cosplay is, but it was like seeing people I went to high school with. It was like very bizarre. And I reached over to grab a print from under the table and my whole suit started ripping up the back, little by little, inching upward until it got to my shoulders and it split in half and both of my shoulders split and it started to literally disintegrate off of me. Like parts of my arm started to fall apart.
It must have touched a material, like a metal or something.
I don't know.
Because you can't, like, latex can't touch metal.
Oh.
Yeah, it will go right through it. It'll cause, yeah, you have to be really careful how you store it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sensitive.
I see. Well, yeah. I still to this day don't know what I did wrong. The whole thing started to just melt piece by piece.
That's
horrid. And I had to, like, run upstairs because it was, like, falling off of me.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, it was at the hotel that we were staying at. So I like just got it. I ran to the elevator and got up and switched into like Android 18 or something. Oh, but I was like, bro.
I had a costume snap on me. I was wearing my Princess Peach and she's a thong bodysuit.
Uh-huh.
And the thong snapped.
Oh my God.
I don't wear underwear with that.
Yeah, of course not.
I was out.
I was no tights, no nothing.
Out, no tights. Nope.
Damn. Was that at a con?
At a con. At a con. At a booth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
Well, fortunately, I had a friend next to me. They gave me their sweater, wrapped it around me, and then I walked to my hotel.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's worse, like I think.
It was so bad. I didn't bring, like, all we had was his sweater. And I was like, okay. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
It was pretty bad, but he walked me back to my hotel too.
Oh, good.
So fortunately, I wasn't just like walking through the crowds of people. Rough. With like,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
you
my
learn,
God.
You know,
you learn.
You learn.
Yeah.
You have to, as if you're not packing enough things,
mm-hmm.
you have to bring more things.
Mm-hmm. Another thing in the survival bag to bring to the booth. Yeah. There was one other time I wore a latex skirt for like a secretary, like a sexy secretary type shoot, but I didn't realize that you had to like shine it. So it was like
real cloudy,
real musty looking. Yeah. And that was, in fact, then I was like, maybe I should just give up. I don't know if latex gets along.
For me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was lucky because when I would model latex, all the first times that mm-hmm. I wore it, I was with a designer. Right. So they would like get me into it. They would teach, they would watch it like, oh, don't put it over there. It's sensitive. It'll split. Like, so I learned these things like, okay, don't put metal near it. Like, so by the time that I was commissioning my own outfits, I had all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't remember why my Princess Peach snapped. Oh, I think the glue unadhered.
Mm.
Which is always a risk if you've been wearing a Peach, because I got to wear Peach a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I wore her a lot. She was very popular.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah. Another hot girl. Like there's wives, right?
Yeah. She was my wife.
Yeah.
For sure. She's still my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to do it again, but with a better wig.
Because
the wig was, you know, the beginning of my styling days. And it's a mess. It's so messy. But I love my crown because it was the first thing I ever made with Warbla.
Oh.
And if you look at it, it looks horrible. But like when I look at it, I'm just like, oh, sweet little Vera.
That's where I came from.
Yeah.
Started from the bottom. Yeah. Now we're here. Yeah. Keep that forever on the shelf.
I will. Yeah. She's very special. I'm thinking of putting her in like a special spot on my shoe shelf.
You should. You should. That's amazing. Well, how different would you say is a cosplay shoot versus a modeling shoot for you?
Cosplay shoots for me are quick because I just have to get the costume.
Mm.
Modeling shoots, I shoot a lot.
Really?
I overshoot I'm kind of like, I'm pretty sure most photographers, I probably drive them crazy.
I am the complete opposite.
Really? Yeah. Teach me, because.
No, I also drive them crazy just with the cosplays.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many shoots do you, because I do not shoot a lot. Like, I will shoot a lot one look. And I get as much content as
I
can.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Yeah, I'm the same way.
Okay, yeah. I like, once I put something on, I'm like, I have to get everything.
I have to milk the shit out of this.
Yeah, because this was hard to put on. Mm-hmm. This took me hours. Mm-hmm. I take a long time to get ready.
Me too.
I would just like to tell the ladies watching, like, just because if little me was listening to it, I'd be like, thank you so much. It takes me three and a half hours to get ready.
Me too.
It's a lot. But I love it. I love every second of it.
It's kind of like a little meditation time.
Yeah, that's what it is for me. Mm-hmm. That's completely what it is for me. I love that process. Mm-hmm. But it takes,
But it takes a while.
Takes a while.
I do the exact same thing. It takes me forever to get ready. And then it takes me at least 2 to 3+ hours to feel like I shot enough stuff. And then I still feel like I'm missing something, you know? How long do you shoot for normally?
You know, I don't really know. When I'm moving fast, I think I shoot one look for 1.5 to 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I will generally shoot 2, sometimes 3 on a very productive day, 4 looks in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel similarly.
Does that sound okay? That makes me feel really good, because sometimes I'm like, all these girls are so efficient. Why can't I just? I'm like, because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, me too.
And the shots have to be good.
Perfect. Yeah, I want to look at them all.
And I care so much. Yeah. Like, I will sit selecting for a really, really long time.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, I'm like, this one or this one? And it's literally like the difference between this. And this.
Yep. This is a lived experience for me.
Which one? I just can't.
Yeah. That, to me, is the biggest difference between moving from Florida to LA. Because in Florida, I don't know if it was just the people that I was shooting with or what, but in Florida, I felt like there was a lot more time to, like, play around. Mm. Where in LA, people are so busy.
Yeah.
And they have so much to do that they're like, did we get it? Okay, we're moving on. Did we get
it? Maybe that's why I feel like I'm being outpaced.
Yeah.
It's just like the slowness I'm used to back in Canada. And a part of me, I'm just kind of want to be like, I don't care. It's my business. I'll move as slow as I want to move. Like, I'm not going to stress my, because I've also done that thing where I'm like, you got to move faster. And then you're forgetting things, you're making mistakes, you burn yourself on a curling iron.
Yeah.
And like, no, slow breathe, calm nervous system. I don't want to play that game. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I sound spoiled, but I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. Yeah. I am the same way as you. And I always feel like I'm holding everybody up and I'm taking too long because I'm used to moving so slow.
I just tell people straight up, like, I'm going to take a long time.
I do too.
Please go without me.
I
will meet you there. If I could, I would join you. Mm-hmm. This is going to take me time. And it's just because this is very important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Girl, we should get a room at the next con together.
I know, like, we would take a long time together.
Just take forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I do the same thing. And the thing that stresses me out about LA as well is that all the studios are per hour. So,
yeah.
You have to rent them for like a really long time.
Yeah. I don't do my hair and makeup there. I do it at home.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. There's no way.
Me too.
Yeah.
But usually I'm like gluing my eyelashes on in the car on the way, trying to get the
move
last
forward faster. I'll say it's going to take me 3 hours, 3 and a half hours. And then takes four. You know, like every now and then it's mm-hmm. like, you know, you make a mistake in your makeup, you have to wash something off mm-hmm. and redo it, or like mm-hmm. this one piece of hair just won't cooperate yep. or whatever it is, which thank goodness for wigs. I want to invest more in like real hair wigs mm-hmm. so that on those days where I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to have to wash my hair, I'm going to have to do this, I can just, nope, just put it under. Because I don't really like the cheaper wigs mm-hmm. a lot. Like mm-hmm. I feel like they look wiggy.
Yeah.
Unless you are shooting and aiming for something where you can hide like the hairline and or how thick the bangs are, like yeah. all these things. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to invest in some really good like real hair wigs that I can style and set on a mannequin. And yeah. she's just waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I don't blame you at all. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Good for production, like
quicker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's go. Exactly. I know all like those reality stars wear wigs and stuff. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I would like watch stuff and be like, how is their hair always so polished? Like they're doing this every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. Like mm-hmm. there's no way I would go crazy.
And yeah, you'd have to wake up at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it's the cosplay thing. They're just nicer wigs. They're just like $2,000 wigs.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
Gotta treat that yeah. nicely. Yeah. Yeah,
treat it real nice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's very validating for me to hear, so thank you.
This is a validating podcast.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is. What would you say that your progression then from latex modeling to cosplay, like, content, what was the transition of that like? Like, when did you start being like, I want to do more cosplay stuff?
It kind of felt almost like I was still just doing organic. The same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that because I was going to a lot of conventions and I was just obsessing. I'm a very big Batman fan. And I had a period where I was like hardcore obsessed. Mm-hmm. And I just like, oh, I want to talk about Batman comics. And I want to like, and I was collecting Hot Toys and Sideshow. I have too much at this point that I'm like, what did I do? So when I was, while I was collecting, I was also turning myself into an action figure, like the way that I would want to have one, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, it didn't really feel like a transition very much.
Yeah. Just natural.
Just felt organic. Natural. Yeah. It felt like almost the same thing. The crowd was definitely different.
Yeah.
Like the people changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. What would you say is different now versus when you started?
I feel really proud. I mean, I've always felt proud, but I feel that there has been a progression in my skill, what I'm bringing to the table, mm-hmm. Where I'm focusing my attention. I used to focus my attention in a lot of the wrong places, like obsessing over comments or likes and things like that. Now it's like not even important because mm-hmm. I'm very, very busy just like working on the skill of it mm-hmm. and, you know, talking to other people in the industry and just, yeah, skill. Mm-hmm. Skill improvement or skill changing or, yeah.
Yeah. You're leveling up your character sheet as you go.
Yeah.
Do you feel particularly connected to any of your cosplays?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mary Jane.
Yeah?
She was like my first. Mm-hmm. I mean, Penguin was, but she was my first at a convention. She's mm-hmm. a very big deal to me. Mm-hmm. Peach is a big deal to me.
Right.
I could just keep going. I think I feel connected to all of them mm-hmm. just because I spent so much time in them mm-hmm. and they taught me so much mm-hmm. and I met so many people. And it's really cool when you put on a costume and you go to a con and someone knows your costume and now you're talking about this character and you're like, I otherwise never would have made a connection with you, but we have something in common that mm-hmm. if I didn't show up like this today, mm-hmm. I never would have known.
Yeah.
And I made a lot of fans in the Batman community, which just means the whole world to me. And it's how I met my husband as well, mm-hmm. because he's such a huge Batman fan. So that was like a major connection for us. So right. all the costumes, they're my babies. Mm-hmm. They're all my children.
Each one. Yeah. That's why I don't love the what do you have a favorite costume question, because for me it's always the one that I just worked on last.
Everyone wants to ask you that too.
I know.
What's your favorite?
Which, and it's like they are like my children. I don't mm-hmm. necessarily have a favorite.
I'm the same with what you just said though. It's the last one.
It's the last one.
Yeah, because I'm high on it.
My hyperfixation is happening right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I relate.
Mm-hmm.
That for sure. And I have one that I'm working on right now that makes me laugh so hard. I'm so excited to bring her out soon. And it's been so long since I've cosplayed. I haven't cosplayed in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun to do that.
Yay, a new one on the horizon.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. There's a couple of things that we mentioned before we started. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it yet, though, but you said maybe you were breaking out into reality TV.
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So my friend Mark Towell, he had a show on Netflix called Rust to Riches, and that contract is up. So he's decided to take the show into his own hands. It's going to be the same team, same quality, just I believe I can say this, that he's taking the reins on that. And he told me he was doing this. And I was like, you know, all my life I've never driven a car. I've never taken an interest in driving. But a big part of that was always like, I'll learn when I get to California. Because that was always like my dream. I was zeroed in on like, I got to get to California. You know, I was like, I'll learn then. I'll do this then. And I tabled a lot of things in life to when I get to California.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me he's going to be taking it to YouTube. I was like, can I learn about cars? Is that weird? And he goes, no, that'd be great. So I'm going to be going into the show completely blind. I don't know anything about cars. Mm-hmm. I'm car blind. When I walk into a parking lot, I can't even find our car. Uh-huh. But I'm excited.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I'll just be learning on camera and it's going to be good.
It is going to be good.
Yeah. Very, and it's it's a good environment. I'm used to the guys club. You know, just being around a lot of men, I'm mm-hmm. used to that. Mark reminds me of my dad a little bit. So it's a little comforting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad's back home and my dad's a general contractor. So hands-on. And I always picked up my handiness from my dad. So I'm going to bring some of that. So I don't know anything about cars, but I'm a handy girl.
Mm.
Very handy.
Yeah. You have to be as a cosplayer.
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah. Well, that's so exciting. We're going to transition to the Patreon portion.
Okay.
But I had such a blast talking with you.
Thank you
so much for being here.
I have to, before you switch over, I have to compliment you. And I've said this to you like 6 times since walking in the door, but you're such a good podcast host. You ask such great questions. You transition the conversation well. I'm so comfortable talking to you.
Wow.
Because it can be really nerve-wracking. I feel like I feel heard by you. I feel it's nice.
Yay.
It's very nice. You run a great show.
Thank you so much.
I think I'm
going
to be binging your episodes now. Like, I've seen a few and I'm like, oh, she's so good. And then being here across from me, I'm like, oh, you're really good at this. You make me want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, she's just magnetic.
You should. Oh, my God. That's so nice.
So thank you for that, for making this
easy
and fun and just wonderful.
I appreciate that a lot because I feel like I have grown a lot from the beginning of this endeavor. So that to me is a poison ivy moment.
This is your poison ivy
This is my poison ivy moment. I feel you. Thank you.
The validating podcast.
Yeah. That's our subtitle from now on. Parentheses.
Very validated.
Come and be validated.
I love that.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here. Where can everyone find you online? And what do you have coming up besides the reality show?
So I've got the Bat in the Sun upcoming short film, which is the beatdown between Batman and Shredder, which is a full circle moment for me. I love these two movies so much. They mean everything to me. And being April, just big, big deal. So I'm very, very, very excited about that. I really want you guys to watch that. That is on the channel Bat in the Sun. And the Gotham Garage content that's coming up, the YouTube reality show, very, very excited for that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll have my own things coming up as well. I've just been very, very busy.
Yeah. A new costume on the horizon.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. I'll give myself some credit. I've got a costume on the horizon. That's true. And yeah, that's the stuff I have to promote. And I am at Vera Bambi Live across all social media. That's it.
And that's
it. Oh, I have a YouTube channel. What is it? It's not Vera Bambi Live. I couldn't get it. We'll put it in the thing.
We'll put it in the thing.
In the thing.
We will. We'll put it in the thing.
The YouTube channel will go in the thing.
I have to get my phone because I need to show you something.
Oh. Oh my.
It's Vera Bambi
TV. Oh, is I don't know. There's a couple YouTube channels and they're not. I have to organize that. It's kind of a mess. I have like old channels that aren't it and like other ones. I know Off Live is like my one for my Twitch clips, which I have to return to Twitch. I haven't returned to Twitch since being out here. And then I don't think it's Vera Bambi TV, but it might be. Anyways, show me.
It might be
Vera Bambi Life. Is there a makeup video on that one? It says, like, I think it's like a 400 and something Sephora haul with the red hair. Okay, so that's Vera Bambi Life. Got it.
Vera Bambi Life.
Yeah.
On
Vera
YouTube.
Vera Bambi Life on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay, what are you showing?
I had a thought. So you were talking about, this was unplanned. Yeah. So you were talking about your cosplays. Mm. Did you do Sonic the Hedgehog at one point?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I did.
I'm sure that you did because when I first started cosplaying, very first, I want to say like 2014, maybe a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I saw your Sonic costume on the internet. And I wanted to make a Sonic costume because of your Sonic costume.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
The problem.
Goddess Danielle saw me.
My Sonic cosplay was really, really bad. Like, it was one of the first costumes I ever made, like, really? With my hands. And
I have to see. Are you pulling it up?
I'm looking for. I know that it exists in this message thread, and I am scrolling until I find it.
Oh, I love that you brought up my Sonic. That one was so fun. I fully dyed my hair for that.
You did?
Yeah. Like, bleached my whole head, blue hair. I went hard.
Did you have it? Do you have it? Did you just send it to me?
Did he just send it to you?
He sent it to me.
He's on it. He's on the ball.
So I don't know what year this was. This is the most embarrassing cosplay I have on the internet. And I've tried to scrub it from the internet because of how embarrassing it is.
You need little embarrassing
things out there. So this is a full circle moment for me. For context,
I'm sure it's not that bad.
Vera is a very hot, beautiful woman in a very pretty Sonic the Hedgehog costume somewhere on the internet. And then...
Was that like my second or third? Okay, I'm so ready.
take this from me.
Just waiting for you to look at me. Eye contact.
Yeah.
Oh.